serve him, roll him.
He's already been served. I served him. He's taken care of. He's a little slow, but he got it.
All right, Roland. Roland is calling in this morning from Toronto, where he's filming a movie, a Matt Damon movie. With all this going on, Roland, it must be tough for you. Good morning, Roland Martin.
Hey, that's what I got, satellite. So you do what you got to do. And so, Tom, good talking with you, Sybil and Jay as well. A stunning weekend, nearly 90 protests all across this country, including protests in London, Berlin, and Vancouver, Canada, for Black Lives Matter. As a result of the shootings of Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge, and of course, Philando Castile in, outside of St. Paul, Minnesota. And then also we had the shooting in Houston late last week as well of Alvin Brazil, a black man reportedly with his hands up, shot 10 times. Now, the shooting that took place in Dallas on Thursday, many people expected that was somehow going to quell the protest. Well, that didn't happen. But when it comes to Dallas, there's still a problem. We all witnessed what was taking place. Mark Hughes, an African-American man who was carrying a weapon with one of the protesters, his photo was blasted all across the world as a person of interest and then a suspect in the shooting. He was taken into custody, interviewed by police, him and his brother, later released, but it was 16 hours before Dallas police actually took his photo down, but yet he is still getting death threats. He joins us on the phone right now, along with his brother, Corey Hughes, as well. So we have Mark Hughes and Corey Hughes, plus Jasmine Sprocket, their attorney. Mark, I got to go to you first. Give our listeners what you have had to experience and feel the last 4 days.
Well, what I can say is it's been a complete nightmare, literally. Going from someone is out there just in support of my brothers, in support of the movement, and end up being a suspect, to where not only am I labeled one of the most wanted men in America, my life was in jeopardy. I'm constantly having to look over my shoulder now. I mean, it's crazy. Something that I would never thought in a million years.
Corey, something happened during that march. Shooting breaks out. You immediately go to your brother and say, what?
Well, I immediately told him, hey, man, give up your firearm, because I understood the severity of the situation. And I knew that with him exercising his Second Amendment rights, and in the certain situation where cops were being shot at, that if a cop seen him with that gun, they would probably shoot first and ask questions later. And so I thought it was important to try to get him out of the line of fire. And so I immediately found him, found the first police officer I could get to, and I literally forced my brother to give up his firearm.
You were
Mark,
lucky.
Mark, you want to give it up?
I'm going to be honest about you. I'm going to be honest. When I heard them shots fired, Corey came to me and told me to give him my firearm. I was like, why should I give him my firearm? They are here shooting.
And Mark, on that point, the reality is we've seen other protests, Tea Party activists and others, where folks have been carrying their weapons. You've actually had people challenging you, saying, why were you even carrying the weapon? Do you believe there's a double standard when it comes to African-Americans who believe in the Second Amendment compared to whites?
No question, Roland. Just for the record, and this is Corey, one of the things that I think is important for America to know is that, just like you said, the white man can carry their firearms without a consequence, without a question, without being suspicious or anything like that. But the moment we exercise that same right as African Americans, the first question everybody wants to know is why. And I think that's part of the fundamental problem with the systematic racism in this country, that a black man just cannot do the same thing that a white man can do without it being some sort of problem.
Both of you are interviewed by police. You're interrogated. Then you're released. What happens when you ask the Dallas Police Department for a public apology, Mark?
Well, they basically said that they weren't going to issue any apology because it was an ongoing investigation.
What does that have to do with it?
Yeah, right.
That's a great question. That's something that we've been crying out for, but I think we've come to the finalization that it's not going to happen at all.
And Roland, just so you know, before we left the station, you know, with about 60 officers looking us dead in our faces, they released us out the back door.
Wow.
I asked them, You know, listen, you guys have put my brother's face out there for the world as the number one target all over social media outlets, all over the world, internationally. Are you guys going to go do a press conference and let the world know that he did not do it? I mean, it's one thing to send out a tweet, but the tweet does not have the same effect as his photo being all over the place. And so, again, they just basically looked at us in a matter-of-fact type of tone and said no.
Mark Curry, I know that you're getting death threats for you and your family. Have the police offered to help you?
No, absolutely not.
To protect you?
Nothing? Nothing.
We have had any communication with the police since they exited us out the back door.
And Jasmine,
what about that? First of all,
they sue?
It took 16 hours for them to pull the photo down. They have not released a statement. What are you demanding? What are you asking of the mayor, of the police chief? Will you, as Tom said, will you pursue any kind of legal remedy?
We actually are researching exactly which routes we want to pursue at this point in time. But obviously, you know, to put this man's life in danger and then do absolutely nothing as it relates to retracting their statements, that's reckless behavior. We have a lot of concerns. We have concerns about how he was treated. In general, the fact that his property was not returned to him, you know, he's still sitting here and he doesn't have his gun and they know that it wasn't involved. You know, as far as the vehicle is concerned, we've got a lot of concerns and we can't really even open the lines of communication with them to see if they will even try to be reasonable under these circumstances.
Mark, have you gotten any a voice of support from the NRA by any chance?
Absolutely not, and that's amazing because this is, you would think that this is something that they would want to get behind due to the circumstances. But again, this is one of the things that we've been talking about, the division in color we see here. I truly believe if I was a Caucasian white man, this was happening to me, the NRA would definitely be behind me, maybe even at the protests and making press conferences behind it. But this,
Mark, are you an NRA member?
No, I'm not.
And Roland, let me make sure because I think we get that question a lot about the Second Amendment and about him being an NRA member. And this is Corey, just so you know. But we've been to several protests across the country. And one of the things that we want the world to know is that, unfortunately, when Trayvon Martin passed and there was a protest, everyone brought Skittles and they brought tea. When Mike Brown was shot, they said, hands up, don't shoot. When Eric Garner was choked out, they said, I can't breathe. Well, one of the reasons we brought the gun to the rally was because we had two brothers that week that had just gotten killed, one of them for legally carrying a firearm. And so that was the reason that we brought the firearm. It wasn't in support of the Second Amendment. It was really in support of the two brothers, you know, and standing in solidarity with them. And it turned into a nightmare.
Jasmine, one last question. If the police apologize, will that open them up for a lawsuit because they're saying that they were wrong in what they did?
Tom, this is Lee Merritt. I'm also the attorney on the case. And what we're looking for from the police is not necessarily an apology. That alone is not what we're looking for. What we're looking for them is to make a public statement or any statement that says he's not involved, because they basically sicked the public on my client to find him. And a lot of people have taken that, they've retweeted that, and there are people out in the community who are still looking for Mark Hughes as a suspect. And so it's not necessarily just to say I'm sorry, and that the apology itself would not open them up to sue. The fact that they've left that call to the community out, in fact, does. The fact that they've left out a general call to the community to hunt Mr. Hughes down does leave them open to liability.
Wow.
What it is certainly stunning. First of all, Mark, we're glad that you are safe. But unfortunately, you have to keep a swivel on your neck because looking around, and hopefully Dallas Police Department will do what's right. The police chief should do something. Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings, they should publicly make it clear that you were not involved in this to clear your name, to putting that photo out across the world.
And please keep us up to date on how this is going.
Yes.
No doubt. Thank
Mark,
you.
Corey, Jasmine, Lee, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.